What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. No budget, no supplies, no problem. This week, our guest is Emma Morozowski. Emma is an athletic trainer for Dreher Physical Therapy. She got 3 years in the profession, working as an ATC outreach. So a while back, there had been some comments about basically doing athletic training without any sort of budget, any sort of supplies and support, that kind of thing. And so Emma said she's kind of living through that. So I figured it's a great conversation to have here on the podcast, because I'm sure you're not the only person, Emma, to be in that situation. This conversation will be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/flatbroke. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/flatbroke. And that's where we'll have some show notes and some links and things like that. If there's resources that Emma has or a way to contact her and say, hey, what are some of the things that you did well to get some resources? And then Marlene was over here Twitter creeping on you, Emma, just kind of going through your Twitter, seeing your pictures and your posts and how you posted trash cans for ice bass and that kind of thing. So using hashtag TheSMB, Marlene should be able to see any questions in the live chat. We got Mickey, Melissa Long, and Tiffany. So they can, if you got questions, definitely jump in. Feel free to ask those there. From Emma, she apparently is a expert in being flat broke as far as an athletic trainer. So without much further ado, Emma, we are going to get a little background. So tell me your athletic training story, kind of maybe where you went to college and then where you began as a professional and then go from there.
I went to undergrad at the University of Alabama out here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I started the program in 2008 and I finished in 2012 and kind of just stumbled upon athletic training. While I was in junior college trying to figure out what it is I wanted to do. And so narrowed it down to athletic training. I love the field of athletic training because you aren't your typical 9-to-5. You're in and out doing a lot of mentorship, influencing kids with everything. I love the medical aspect of everything. I like being able to be there with injuries. When I finished undergrad, I went and got my master's and worked as a graduate assistant at Thomas University and finished that in 2013-2015 and then came and worked for Dreher and been working ever since then and been introduced to the high school setting where you have limited budget, limited supplies, kind of make do with bare necessities.
Okay, so you said you started working in an inner city high school, and so kind of low income, but honestly, like a lot, I wouldn't say every, but most athletic trainers think, you know, well, I have a small budget. Describe what you mean when you say that there was no supplies or no budget, and so rather than just saying I didn't really have much, just what did it look like?
I came in when I took over for a girl that was there before me, and I think she maybe spent $200 or $300 to buy some supplies the year before, and it was a lot. It was a challenge for her to get the like ice bags and a little like cup, one big box of like Mueller tape, this split tape that they kind of pieced together with everything. So I came into an athletic training room with just ice bags and whatever supplies I had in my personal kit that I got from work. And as the football season started, I talked to my coach, my head football coach, and I was like, I need to know about supplies and getting things ordered. What is it going to take? What do I need to do? And he told me, you know, just get a list of everything. We'll go from there. I'll send it to the principal and let it get taken care of. And that kind of started the ball rolling. And I was told to go and, you know, get bids on what it was I was looking for, and basically ordering supplies for an athletic training room that had nothing to get them started. And so I did everything I needed to do in terms of getting multiple bids from different companies. I got a bid order from School Health, Medco, Alert Services, Collins, all of the big companies that people had suggested off of Twitter when I was trying to get ideas for everything. And would send them back to my principal, and he was like, this is too much. And I wasn't given an initial budget, like, this is what I can spend, this is what you got to work with. My initial bid came in a little over $3,000. And the school that I work at is currently, it's a Title I school in the inner city, so funds are limited. And so I worked down from $3,100 to under $3,000. And I finally got supplies for about $700 that have gotten me thus far through the school year. And that was, I think, maybe 10 boxes of tape, 2 boxes of Neosporin, PowerFlex tape. I think I got like 5 boxes of PowerFlex. A wizard to clean the athletic training room, clean down supplies, clean out coolers. What else did I get? I think that was about it. I wanted to get a lot of other basic necessities that I could use, you know, ACE wraps, different forms of tape for different injuries, and that's all I was able to get.
All right, so let's back up a little bit more. I mean, you said there was pretty much no supplies. So kind of paint a picture for us when you walk into the athletic training room. Is it just an ice machine, ice bags and scoop, or were there tables? Was there a TheraBand? Were there any crutches? Like, really give us a picture of what you were walking into.
I walked into the field house at our school. There was 2 tables that were donated previously. And they're from an old OBGYN office in this room. There's 2 desks that were side by side. In the corner of the athletic training room, there's a shelving unit. And then there's a file cabinet at the end of the 2 desks side by side. There, just after you walk in to the right, and then there's just a long row of cabinets with like 6 drawers. And then the double doors underneath it. And then the coolers that they use for football and water bottles, that was it. And then there's a storage closet, which is where they keep at the end of the room. I'd say it's maybe about 800 square feet, maybe a little bit bigger. It's a really functional space to do a lot of good things with, but there's hardly anything in there. 2 old exam tables, and there was some sort of odd, like, food cart in there that for like you'd use in the cafeteria for like stacking whatever lunch stuff that you're cooking and getting ready for. There's a clock. I don't think there's a clock. And then there was a phone line that I don't even think works now. When I got in there, and there's a couple of stools and chairs, and that's about it.
All right. So I didn't hear you say, was there a desk or a computer?
There's no computer. There's 2 desks, like teacher's desk with the metal desk with the drawers underneath, and then 2 cabinets, drawers on the side in there. But there's no official any sort of filing system, keeping track of student athletes' records. No real official way to document everything in there.
All right, and then you said there was coolers and water bottles. So. Mm-hmm. That can mean different things for different people. You know, my friend John Harmon down in Dickinson, he's got a whole wall full of Gatorade coolers that are relatively new. You know, we've got, I don't know, maybe 120 Gatorade water bottles here in our athletic training room. So what did that look like there for you?
4 coolers, old Powerade. I think there's 2 Powerade and 2 Gatorade coolers, the 10-gallon coolers. And I'd say maybe all together for practice use, 4 racks of water bottles. Some have tops, some don't. Some tops are broken. Some are a little, I don't even know when the last time they were cleaned properly before I got there. But that's about the extent of what was in there.
All right. And then any sort of emergency supplies? I didn't hear you say crutches, splint bag.
No.
What about an AED, anything like that?
Finding that we had an AED on campus, but it was in the main office, and trying to get that tracked down from my principal was a challenge in and of itself. I actually now have it in my possession. I keep it with me all the time now, and it stays in the field house. but I don't think I actually had that out on the field with me during football season until about the third home game of the season. But I don't have crutches. I don't have any splint bags. No scales. The only way to make an emergency phone call is to keep my cell phone on with me and call 911 and go through that, go through the whole dispatch and have them sent out there. So pretty much going into a school with no sort of previous athletic training, implementation, program, organization is kind of, it was outreach. They'd come with their own stuff, own supplies and their kit. And that was about it.
Okay. So it was really just basically an outreach position before, more or less, in the fact that you just kind of showed up for games and took care of them, whereas you're starting there working at the school and they're like, oh, hey, we don't have anybody that's used or wanted or needed any of this before, so here's a hole in the wall and hope it makes you satisfied, right?
Pretty much. Oddly enough, the principal at the school, he worked at a previous school with the doctor that I work for, and the doctor helped set up the program at the prior school he was at. So they had multiple AEDs, almost anything and everything they needed for supplies, splint bag, crutches, all of that good stuff. And then came over to this other school where it was limited. And the company before me was through one of the major hospitals down out here where I live. And it was pretty much an athletic trainer was there for home football games or away football games and would check in like once a week with kids, maybe on like a Wednesday for like an hour, and that was it. And then we'd go off and to the other school that they had to go check in. So there was no real supplies to have in there and no way to track what was being used, what was being taken. And I mean, I'm having that now when I go and look at what supplies I ordered that I had put away in my closet that have kind of magically disappeared and somehow or another grew feet and walked away and can't be found.
All right. So now that we kind of understand what it looked like walking in, you said you kind of went through what would be a normal route of placing bids. But before you did that, you went and talked to your coach and then the principal. Tell me a little bit more about that conversation. How did you say, hey, I need this stuff to do my job, or hey, I can do my job more efficiently if I did this? Tell me more about how that conversation went.
Most of my conversation went through my head coach, who was really receptive about what I needed. He was like, I kept telling him, hey, do you think, you know, if I'm going to need some supplies to do stuff other than what I bring with me, what do I need to do? How do I need to go about that? He was like, I'll talk to the principal. And, you know, you just get a list of what it is you need and get it to me, and then we'll get it taken care of. And I got a list together. I don't even know if I still have it. But of the main things that I would need to have a functional room with just the bare essentials, with your tape, cleaning supplies, a little bit of first aid with everything. And then I printed off the list and I gave it to my head football coach, and he gave it to the principal. And then I spoke with the principal, had a brief encounter with him after school started to, you know, get to know who I was, get my contact information, talk about what worked, what didn't work with things, found out the previous company, the ATC before me, used for ordering $300 worth of supplies, which was a challenge for her. And then kind of went from there to go get bids, and I would email him the bids that I would get, this is the quoted price, and wait to hear back from him with everything. And I wasn't in either of those conversations. I was never given like, this is a specific amount that you're going to have, like, this is what you can afford. That was only until after the emails with the prices, you know, we can't afford anything over, you know, X amount of dollars. Can you get it below that? And this went on for a while, just getting multiple bids, revising the quantity that I was trying to get. But I was basically told from my head coach, whatever you need, write it down. We'll get it. We'll get it taken care of. No problem. So not having the specifics on what I needed, I was like, all right, let's go. What can I get to get something started so people behind me with whatever happens? Since it's a contract, I think per year or every 2 years, would have something to come into instead of trying to start over from scratch. And when I talked to the principal, he was like, no problem. You just go and get the bids and we'll get it worked out. Do all the legwork and just give me the final numbers and this is what we'll get. And we'll get a purchase order set out and check cut and order everything you need.
All right. So moving forward, if you were to be in the same situation again, you know, you felt like you were supported from the principal or from the coach and then the principal, but your idea of what you need was greatly different from their idea of what you might need. So, mm-hmm. so you would probably need to have a conversation like, okay, you guys say, and you know, tell you what I need and then we can order it. But what dollar amount are you saying I can work within? Because realistically, I have nothing, and to do have a functional training room is probably going to take, you know, $2,000 to $5,000, you know, this year or, you know, over the next 2 years, something like that, to build up the supplies and the equipment needed to do this. So basically you need to have that conversation and say, I need a dollar amount.
Yeah. And I even explained that to him. I was like, this is the reason the quantity in which I'm wanting to order things is to get me through the entire year without having to, you know, place an order in the spring before spring football were to start. Or, you know, I'd explain to him the reason why the quantity was so high with things is to get through the year and potentially have stuff going into next year. And I could never get an honest answer of like, this is the dollar amount that you can spend. And I don't know if it was coming from the principal and the bookkeeper. They were just weren't seeing eye to eye with things or what was going on. But I even asked him, it was like, what is my number that I can get? What is my dollar amount I can spend? And I could never get a definitive answer. In the conversations with the bid prices that I would send him, he would never give me a definitive dollar amount.
Gotcha. And you said, so the supplies you ended up ordering were somewhere around $700?
I think altogether $700 with shipping.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to, as you say that, I'm trying to think of what I would do with $700, because we have, we're in Texas, right? So everything's just a little bit different.
Yeah.
But our budget right now is like about $6,000. And so, yeah, exactly. So
what I wouldn't give to be able to have that kind of supply budget.
Exactly. And so what I'm just thinking is, all right, so we spent that much, you know, on between tape and Band-Aids. You know, that's not including the physical, the rehab stuff, the extra stuff we do where, you know, the shirts and uniform type things for our students. And I'm trying to really figure out if I was having to do $700, what I could pick out. What do you feel like was your first win in getting supplies?
My first win, I think, was when I finally got the email saying, or the confirmation from my principal saying that the supplies have been ordered. Because I kept getting the runaround. I'd even asked my coach, hey, coach, you said that everything's been ordered. When is it supposed to be here? And I went to NATA for the first time this past year in St. Louis. So I got a lot of the, you know, the samples that they give out while you're going around and visiting all the different vendors. And so some of my rehab tools I was able to pick up were like the stress ball for something, samples of TheraBand that I've used for ankle rehab. And that's about it. So that's kind of a little bit of a win, is, you know, making use of free samples with things. And but finally getting a detailed, like, hey, this is when it was shipped, this is when it's supposed to arrive. And I got the call from my principal, hey, your supplies are here, we're sending them over right now. And I think I even took a picture and had posted, like, hey, it's finally Christmas, like 2 months after the fact, trying to get everything ordered. And it was a relief having my own supplies without having to go stop by work. Our work provides us some supplies, but I wasn't going to max them out with, you know, Friday night football with everything and use that tape and all that. I was trying to making the school a little bit responsible, providing adequate supplies for their student athletes to compete and do what they're supposed to do.
All right, that was an interesting statement. I'm going to come back to you in just a second. But Tiffany, she's watching live, and she said her school has a $10,000 budget and a $2,000 budget for the junior high. All right, so here we don't have to deal with giving junior high supplies. That comes from our district athletic trainer. But, again, we have 11 of us for five high schools in our district, 11 athletic trainers. So, again, it's completely different from your situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they deal with the junior highs. But, yeah, kind of $12,000 for them and the junior high there. So, crazy situation. But one of the things that I liked what you said was I wanted to make the school responsible. So, you didn't want to just go to your company and say, okay, well, I need all this stuff. You know, you have to continue pouring out more and more money. But you're trying to demonstrate to the school the value and the need for sports medicine, for athletic training.
Mm-hmm. And especially at the inner city school that I work at, they are so used to going to the emergency room for colds, coughs, sprains, strains, all of that. They're so used to just, mom wants to take them to the emergency room. Most of my kids out here, our health insurance, I have a friend that actually works out in Texas, and she's been out there for about 2 years working at the high school setting. And you guys have a great coverage for all of your athletes. They're unified when they're playing athletics, supplemental insurance instead of having to deal with kids who are Medicaid, or, you know, insurance, the bare basics for insurance that are, you know, that's currently in place with everything. And so trying to get kids in to see doctors who have Medicaid, you have to have them go through their primary care to get the referral to sports medicine, is very challenging. Explaining to them that I was there for, you know, save them a trip to the ER, you know, 2 hours waiting to get seen for something that I could take care of in-house, is so much easier. And having them understand that was a challenge, in trying to tell them, hey, you don't have to go to the emergency room. You know, you aren't going to die. It's not broken. You're going to live. You're going to be able to go to class tomorrow. You're going to be fine. Explaining that to the parent was a challenge. And I'm starting to get a buy-in now after, I think, 4 or 5 months of school being in session and them seeing what it is I do and realizing I'm not there to hold you out. Has been the challenge, because they're so used to that whole helpless system of things. I'm going to just go to the hospital and they'll tell me, because ER doctors have a whole lot of other things to deal with instead of a kid who sprained their ankle and they can walk around and they'll be fine. They don't need crutches. They don't need any of that. Explaining that to them has been an interesting experience working in an inner city high school with no budget. And overcoming that perception that this is what athletic trainers are there to do.
Okay, so just to kind of go back, what does your contract look like? Do you go to the school in the morning or in the afternoons? So
during football season, I was there for practice, and I would be there for games, home and away. So I'd get there in the afternoon about 2:30. Practice would start around 3:30, 3:40. 3 had to be around the field, dressed and ready to go at 3:45. School got out at 3:40. Practice started around 4. It was usually the last period of the day. There were kids in weightlifting with a football coach. Then they would come and see me if they needed the wrist tape, ankle tapes. Just kind of check in. This is how I'm doing, Miss E. They call me Miss E over there, since I call Miss Emma. And then I go out to football practice, stay, you know, watch, make sure everybody, you know, doesn't get hurt. Everyone makes it back in the same, you know, one piece. Anybody that needed injury ice, good to go. Let coach know, hey, everybody's good today. This is what's going on. And that's pretty much how the season went, every day during football season there. And then after the football season ended, my presence at school changed. And I was reduced to home game coverage only. So for basketball, and now soccer, softball, baseball, I was there for all home events. But I would also travel, though, for postseason playoff. If they made it, I would travel with them. And that's kind of where my contract is now. And I was able to travel with my postseason for basketball. We went and made it to the finals for the top eight. And then getting ready for baseball now, they're getting ready for state playoffs here shortly.
Gotcha. Okay, so... So if you're there, you're not there every day, you're not there to kind of do the rehab, is that, I don't know, I'm just curious, what changes have you had to make as a professional to work within $700 worth of supplies to working, you know, in an area where there hasn't been somebody before? So tell me about the adaptations you had to make with that very limited amount of supplies.
I've had to get more creative outside of the box and trying to have kids be able to do things. I'm not able to do the rehab with kids with injuries that I want, you know, from an ankle sprain to being there for a return to play all the time with a concussion issue. It's been a challenge, and it's made me even more, I was already flexible with things and understanding in the world of athletic training, things are going to change last minute. Getting creative with what you have available to you, or being resourceful and figuring out, hey, this is what I can do with rehab. Our company does a really great job for those that need physical therapy. If they can't go and be seen and treated in-house at school with stuff, is depending on what clinic was close to me, I could go in and use their facilities. As long as I could get a hold of the head PT and I'm like, hey, I've got three kids I need to come do some treatment with. What's your patient load looking like around 6:30? Because they're open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if I needed to, I could go and do some treatment with them. Since I don't even have any modalities. I didn't even have a sink in my athletic training room. So that was also an interesting experience going in there. So I became a big fan of hand sanitizer, going to the dollar store and buying from there. Just trying to think outside the box, what can I make do with supplies, and what things can I tell kids to do at home and make sure they understand this is what you need to do. You know, spraining your ankle, hey, I want you to write your ABCs when you can, when you're sitting in class. Stretches, you know, a lot of things that kids can do to be self-sufficient on their own is what's really the big thing that I've learned and adapted to this working in this setting.
All right, so yeah, there's definitely, you know, we obviously do the same thing. All right, so I'm gonna teach you these exercises, we're gonna do them here, and then you need to do the same thing at home. But you know, I'll teach them the TheraBand exercises, give them a, you know, what, 3-4 foot thing of TheraBand and say, all right, take this home, and when you need to level up on the TheraBand, bring that green one back and I'll give you the blue one, or bring the blue one back, I'll give you the black one, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess I just wouldn't be able to give them TheraBand or even have TheraBand. We just have to do more body weight and other type things, but it's very, very interesting. if you're there next year, or like even maybe continuing this year, what are some of the things that you might do, conversations you might have to increase what you can get and prepare for the next year?
So in preparation next year, I think I'd really go and sit down with the principal and potentially the bookkeeper as well and be like, I need a definitive dollar amount. This is what I may do with this year with this supply order to make things better going into next year. This is what I'm wanting to get, and this is the reasoning behind it. What am I going to be allowed to do? Realistically, you want to have this sports medicine there, and you want this presence with everything. How can I fit that need for you guys, and how can we make this work even better than it was this year? I've gotten a lot of buy-in with my coaching staff this year, and even some of the parents have been really great in wanting to help. Ms. Emma, what can I do for you? I had one of my parents for football was like, Ms. Emma, what do we need to do? What can we help? What can we see if we can get donated for you? our alumni association for the high school has a lot of influential people that are contacts. And what else can we do for you? I was actually able, my football coach had the buy-in with wanting to get the Rubbermaid, like 150-gallon, like horse troughs, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We actually wound up getting those towards the middle of the season instead, in lieu of doing the trash cans with the trash can liners in there for ice baths. And he has been he's been a strong ally for me in wanting to get the things that I need, because he sees that this is what we can do. This is how well we can do during a season. And especially since we're moving up in the region, we're going from a 5A to a 6A school. So it's going to be a bit of a eye-opener, and that's also something I'll stress to them. You know, going further and sitting down and meeting is like, next year there's potential for more significant injuries that happen, you know, other than a concussion or an ankle, you know, spraining your ankle. These are the supplies I would love to have to keep kids in the game and limit it, you know, limit athlete miss. And that's kind of my frame of thought, and that's kind of what I'm looking at once everything is all said and done. And I'm sure by the end of the school year, they'll have their number, their budget of this is what we can work with. This is what's going to be available.
All right. So as you approach some of those people, or kind of some of them actually approached you, hey, what can we do? It'd be best to have a plan. So, yeah. And just say, oh yeah, I'll let you know. Well, that doesn't work. But if you say, hey, well, I really need this. So kind of what was your plan? What was your priority when somebody asked you, what can we do? How can we help?
When my one football parent that came and spoke to me asked me, like, if you could have anything, you know, what would you want? And I, you know, besides having a sink to wash my hands properly after dealing with an athlete, feet, whatever, I said, I would really love to have an e-stim unit, whether it's 10 years old and a school or a physical therapy company no longer wants it. I would love to have an e-stim unit so I could do a little bit more in terms of pain control, you know, ultrasound with healing things, so I could keep kid, you know, do what I need to do a little bit with an e-stim unit, to provide a little bit more realistic, realistic approach to everything, you know, with injuries, instead of just, hey, slap a bag of ice on it and maybe do a couple of stretches and everything like that. That was one of my main things, is wanting to have that in there. In addition to rehab supplies, you know, TheraVan, cones, ropes for stretching, you know, dumbbells to do some shoulder work with things. Those are the things that I would love to eventually get, but I know that's not going to be a realistic option currently, within the next like year or two with all of that. But that would something I would love, that's in my plan. If I could say this is my, you know, 2-year plan at the school, increase my supplies for a functional athletic training room and build up rehab equipment so kids can do rehab here at school and go out to practice and participate.
Gotcha. So sink, obviously, for cleanliness, that'd be a priority. Yeah. Almost every time I evaluate somebody, I try to wash my hands so that I'm not spreading germs and, you know, I'm just keeping myself clean. So I can't imagine having to kick everybody out, walk out down to the hall to the restroom, wash my hands, and then come back, you know. And then as we're taping, you always get cuts on your fingers, so that the hand sanitizer would be really, really painful. The alcohol in there always hurts. So
a little bit. Surprised me that you didn't know you had.
What about the Alumni Association? Did they end up coming through with anything for you? Emma?
Unfortunately, not during the school year. There wasn't anything that was able to happen. I was asked, you know, what does one of those machines typically run? And, you know, those are a couple thousand dollars, even for the basic model with anything. And, so nothing has been able to come of that. They were also wanting to figure out the best way for, you know, handling shoulder pads and the fact that they all stink. Kids don't wash their practice gear, but maybe once a week, if that. There's talks about wanting to get laundry loops for the kids so they could wash. We could wash their practice gear here at the school, since there is a washer and dryer to use to keep for all the uniforms for all athletics, because the uniforms don't get sent home with the kids because they may or may not return. I don't think they were able to find them and get them, but that was another thing that they came and asked me about, because, you know, football season's, you know, prime season for somebody to develop a staph infection. Thankfully, knock on wood, I only had one case with a kid, and it didn't have to be drained. It was able to be treated with antibiotics and worked really well. And that was one of the big things. I was talking to a fellow athletic trainer who had more years of experience. You know, when you're at an inner city school, all you need is one case of staph and it's going to run rampant, and you're going to try to figure out how to keep that clean. And that was one of the things I wanted to buy, was the foggers that you can buy, the sanitizing foggers, so, you know, place in the locker room, let them go. And because all the kids left their helmets and shoulder pads here, and those things would always wind up smelling horrendous when my kids would come in to get taped with everything. And I was like, no, you've got to go outside. I can't, not today. Your shoulder pads smell too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those days after it rains and then they just stick the stuff back in the locker. I'm like, no, you guys aren't getting treatment today. You guys, you just go. you're terrible. Stink up the whole hallway, training room. It's it's terrible. Okay, so if, you know, you said your two-year plan is to increase the supplies, increase the awareness. If, you know, you're back after next year, so maybe you get your contract or you're in the same situation, what do you think what would be your goal realistically for your situation in 5 years for the budget for athletic training supplies and for the presence for athletic training at your school?
The presence for athletic training at the school, my first thing, I have one student currently. I don't really, there is not a current like high school student athletic training aid class course or anything like that. I've had girls that were in our, like, I believe the school has like a nursing foundation. They have just a general health science courses, and there's a teacher who kind of would help select students to come help and basically help be water girls for football. And I would tell them, they would help me tape. I show them this is how they'd help during pregame taping on Fridays with things. I'd also told them, hey, this is, you know, if you see somebody on the sideline that has blood, this is what you can do to help get, you know, this is where the band-aids are in my kit. This is where the, you know, hydrogen peroxide is. If you see something that I don't see, you're more than welcome to go ahead and take care of it. And here's where I keep gloves and everything. Working more with her to help establish this is what athletic training is about. This is what I would love to do, you know, have more students that are going to be participating ideally throughout the week at practice with everything instead of just Fridays and wanting to get into the game for free. Establishing that, maybe having a little bit more in depth with anatomy class and teacher, and this is what's going on. Potentially, you know, having a sports medicine club for those who are actually really interested in it and wanting to be like, this is what I want to do. Having, you know, there's other ATCs in my company who are at bigger high schools that have a significant budget, that have, like you have at your school, money for clothes, supplies, everything's uniform, and being able to have that same thing at my high school is what I would love to have, you know, teaching with it, going and taking them on field trips. Hey, this is what this college athletic training program looks like. This is what happens at this doctor's office. That would be what I'd like to do. And just getting more kids involved with everything, instead of so many of the kids there kind of go through the motions with things. They don't really want to pursue anything. They'll be content, you know, once they turn 18 and going and working full time somewhere, you know, that requires little skill, is wanting to really have them pursue, you know, college, whether it's athletic training, whether it's physical therapy, whether it's PA, nursing, anything medical related, in the medical field related to athletic training is what I'd love. I would love to eventually in my career say I've had X number of students be inspired by interacting with me and wanted to go pursue athletic training. That's what I'd love to have happen at that school. We have the doctor I work with actually put on a sports medicine camp last summer, and it was the first time doing it. And all the kids learned about, they got CPR and first aid certified. They learned about taping, learned about spine boarding, learned about casting. So having kids that I, you know, hey, students that are interested in my high school wanting to do sports medicine, athletic training, you guys get to come to this week-long camp. It was usually, Monday through Friday, like 8 to 5. Breakfast, everything was provided, lunch was provided. They got to meet, you know, the doctors and learn all of this fun stuff. And at the end of it, and I think they also had, they were trained for like disaster preparedness if something were to happen. Getting more of my students involved with that and exposing them to a brief intensive course with athletic training. We showed them what our kits were like, proper stretching. What else did we do? At the end of it, it was really fun. We had like a relay race on that Friday. And this was done at one of our football fields here where the college plays, and they had bowl games played there. And these kids got all access to all of that. And there's another school that has a significant athletic training program, and a lot of their students were there, and I would see them at games, and they'd always come up and say hello. That's what I'd like to be able to do, is take these students that are interested in athletic training, take them to the sports medicine camp, let them become certified in CPR, first aid, have them out there with me during football season, Monday through Friday, and kind of get a real experience with everything. This is what's going on. This is what it takes. Instead of just, hey, I'm here Fridays for the football game and we're ready to go. And there's not a lot of exposure, not a lot of repetition to taping, being of a, you know, of importance, instead of just kind of being seen as a water person.
Yeah, right. Like, I try hard to make sure that our kids aren't just called water carriers or whatever, because they do a lot more. And so, but again, we're full-time on campus. We have program, you know, and kind of like what you said, we're this weekend, actually, we're going to the University of Texas. We're taking students. They have a student workshop. We're doing several different events, just taking them on an overnight field trip. And again, for anybody, if you have that opportunity, take kids on an overnight field trip, make sure you plan well. But it really does change the perspective. And I know the kids talk about it for a long time, and they're like, can we do that again? So that's not what we're talking about here today. But I love taking them on the overnight field trips, because it's a lot of fun for me, and it's a lot more fun for them. So now, did you ever talk to any of the big companies like School Health? They came out and visited with me and left me some samples. Mueller came out and visited, and they left us some samples of some stuff. And have you called any of those local reps and said, hey, you know, would you mind coming out and talking to me? Or, hey, this is my situation. Do you have anything?
No, I haven't had a chance. I haven't reached out to any of the big reps yet to see what they could come out and kind of speak with me and everything like that. That's something I haven't, it's not a resource I've tapped into yet, and something new, figuring out the world of high school athletics and the protocols and everything, like this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, figuring all of that out is something I've been navigating. But that is something I'd actually like to maybe look into over the summer, since there'll be time. I think last year our high school hosted a 7-on-7 camp, and there was a big sponsor for it. He was, he's also in the NFL, so maybe having those various reps for those companies come out during that same time and seeing if there's something that can't happen with that is a definite possibility. Now that I know going into the summer, this is what happened last summer, I may look into that and be a definite possibility.
All right. Tiffany mentioned that Howie's hockey tape will send samples to. So you may look at Howie's hockey tape. I've never had them, but check them out. And then that could be a way to make your supplies last a little bit longer. So Howie's hockey tape will send you samples. Check them out. And I know that one year the Houston Texans, actually when I did my internship with the Texans, we would tape an ankle and then there would be maybe a quarter of a roll of tape left and we just throw it away. Right. And I, and when I was there, I was thinking, man, that's so wasteful. But I came from a small school and that's just how we did it. And you said you went to Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what their situation is, but maybe they're similar where they tape an ankle and then throw away a partial roll. And that's something you can just say, hey, guys, I'm in this situation. I don't have any money. Can you guys throw all those scraps in a box and I'll come pick them up once a month or something like that? Have you thought about anything like that?
I've thought about it. Oddly enough, the tape I had before I got my supply, my big supply order thing, was ice, which I think is basically all those half-empty rolls that get kind of stitched together to make one big roll of tape.
Mm-hmm.
I know while I was a student at Alabama with things, especially with football, there's always that last drawer between taping decks that was all the little odds and ends that you don't quite have enough to do anything with. It was allowed for student, the student athletic trainers to practice taping with. I'm sure if I were to go and kind of explain to them this is my situation, I might be able to hopefully, you know, go out there once a month and pick up all those odds and ends that they don't have, they don't use. Because I'm pretty sure they have an unlimited budget with things, you know, sky's the limit, whatever they want, they'll get. I was always joked about it. In undergrad, we kind of came from like the Disneyland of athletic training where you want it, you can go get it. They're not often told no. But I'm pretty sure that's going to be something I'll look into here as the school year winds down and kind of explain this is what's going on, this is my situation, and anything would be appreciative to help establish some sort of quality of care.
Yeah, and then... Like, I know sometimes we get samples of, like, TheraBand or kinesiology tape, and Arasti has been really supportive of our school, and they've donated, kinesiology tape and some foam rollers and that kind of thing so that we can use here. So maybe calling them. I know, again, you're not a full-time employee there at the school, so donors choose isn't necessarily an option, but if one of the coaches were to, you wrote it up and one of the coaches submitted it as a full-time employee of the school, then you could possibly do that, because I received 6 or 8 foam rollers and the same amount of lacrosse balls for, you know, the myofascial release, so that kind of thing might help as well.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely an option, and these are things not really knowing, hey, these are options available, is great. Now I'm just kind of getting the wheels are turning to go and kind of talk to my staff and coaching staff and administrative staff, hey, this is what's potentially available. If you need me to do the legwork, I'll do it, and you just sign off and send it out. I think they'd probably be really surprised.
All right. What other thoughts or tips do you have for people who have a maximum of $700 budget, who walk into a training room with basically nothing, with cobwebs? What other final kind of parting ways to get something done do you have? Another thing. I meant to mention this earlier. Tiffany, she said, what about Gatorade? They do the G Week. We have ours coming up. I'm not sure. Have you looked into that at all? Because from that, we've got several coolers, a lot of Gatorade products. And, you know, they work in certain regions, so you'd have to check and see. But my guy, Aaron Frankel, he's been on the podcast a couple times. Aaron Francel, he's been on the podcast, and he's always said just email him and then he can get you connected with the right rep. So if you email me afterwards, I'll send you his email. Or if you are listening, then you can go back and find one of the podcast episodes where I talked with Aaron, and his information is on there. So that's also another good resource for getting coolers, bottles, towels, Gatorade product. So definitely check that out. Good job. Thank you for reminding me there, Tiffany. So all right, go ahead, and I kind of interrupted you.
Oh, no, you're fine. Tips with everything. just thinking outside the box, you know, if you don't have a way to keep kid, you know, during the summer with, if you, you know, during summer football camp with everything, not having coolers or, you know, wanting to cool kids off if you're suspected heat illness, you know, trash can, and, you know, having keys to go into that concession stand. Thankfully, our concession stand has the big ice machines that refill no problem to keep everything going. For cleanliness, I mean, I went to the dollar store and bought a spray bottle, made my own 1-10 bleach ratio so I could clean things down. Same thing if I wanted to do some massage or manipulation, bottle of lotion from the dollar store. Dollar store's kind of been my, you know, go-to, and that was something I learned at the college I was at doing my graduate work is, you know, ideally, yes, you'd want to go and get the best of the best, but when you have such a limited budget, you know, things from the dollar store work just as well. Hand sanitizer, lotion. I use my scissors for some modified myofascial release, like Graston. What else would it? Using whatever samples, you know, if you go to NATA or, like you had mentioned, talking to the various reps from different companies, what's available, coming out and speaking. If you're got a good relationship with the doctor that you work with, on your sidelines, whatever they're able to offer in terms of first aid supplies, like gloves and gauze and anything like that. I think that's about, you know, just kind of letting people know, hey, this is what I'm thinking about, you know, sounding boards with, you know, different faculty, staff, coaches, parents, seeing what feedback they'll be able to help out with. You know, this is what I'm wanting to be able to do. I was even talking with one of my students or players at the time, and he's like, oh, my mom works at a doctor's office. I was like, well, see if your mom would be able to get a pair of gloves, you know, box gloves donated. Because during football season, you go through them left and right with blood and everything like that. And I had grabbed a pair of gloves, box of gloves, but I didn't realize they were the powdered latex. So whenever you take them off, you got that funky film. And I was using ice cubes to wash my hands and paper towels. And that was kind of my hand washing routine because I don't have a sink and don't want to go down to the coach's, you know, bathroom and don't know who's in there, who's not in there, and leaving my athletic training room open or having to close it for a split second. I pretty much kind of became resourceful with everything that I got sample-wise, with various kinesio tape, TheraBands, maybe even finding whatever, you know, odd supplies, toys, for rehab, like for balance work and everything like that. And just try to be as creative and resourceful as you can be with a limited budget, especially a whole $700.
Yeah, that's definitely difficult. So yeah, samples are always a good way. And I know that we sell stuff here, you know, some of the Gatorade product that's left over, or we buy it and resell it. But with you being there only one day a week, that's almost impossible to keep your supplies locked up and then only bring them out on that one day. So I don't know that that would necessarily be an option for you either, because that definitely gets you an opportunity to buy other equipment and that kind of thing. And then, you know, once you start buying stuff, then people are like, oh, hey, you got a good program going on. Let me kind of donate to you. But
yeah,
it's a tough situation. And then I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, I talked to Chris Shattuck. He's over here in our area. And he said he always does things, you know, like he would wax the floors at the school. And then that way they, in turn, gave him more money for his program. Or, you know, he drove buses during the summer and then became friends with the bus drivers. And then they painted or donated a bus to him and then painted the bus for him. And he uses that for his program. And so, again, it's different because you're not an employee of the school. But someone who may be an employee of the school or full-time at the school, then maybe this is some of the things that they can do is volunteer a little bit so that there's a trade-off. Not doing it just to do it, but doing it with an end goal in mind, saying, hey, right here, let me help out here some so that I can get this in, you know, a little bit later. So definitely good ideas, good tips. All right. Well, Emma, you can also fill out the sports medicine broadcast or the sportshealth.com/SMB, and you can maybe be selected as the gift card winner there. So if you go to sportshealth.com/SMB, and then for April, the keyword is FreeO. For May, the keyword is LifePod. So enter each month, and then they send out a $50 gift card to one of my listeners each month. And Israel's won it twice. He's down there in the valley here in Texas. So it could be, there you go. It could be $100 over the next couple months. You're winning for supplies, and it'd be 1/7 of your budget. So,
right.
And then when you fill it out, there's a coupon code. So you could use that coupon code and get even a little bit better deal. So, all right. And then we just bought our new unit from Robbie over at Freeo Hydration. Again, that's quite an expensive hydration unit, so mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it necessarily fits with the talk today, but I'm definitely excited about it, and it's a really nice unit. So get Freeo at Freeo Hydration, and then make sure you mention the sports medicine broadcast so that after a certain number, then he'll donate a cooler, an ice chest, and then maybe I'll end up giving that away to somebody like Emma who doesn't have any money or anything. So definitely, if you're going to buy a hydration unit, check out Freeo and then mention the sports medicine broadcast, and so help us help other athletic trainers. And then coming up, we're going to Spatch, which is in South Padre. We're broadcasting live, and I was just recently asked to broadcast from the Sports Neuropsychology Society's seminar here in Houston at the end of the month, so more details will be coming on that, but I already have the links up on my website. Again, this episode will be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/flatbroke. So again, that's sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/flatbroke, where we'll have this episode and we'll have some of the things we talked about here. And then Emma, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, maybe they have something they want to donate or some other tips and ideas, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way to do that would probably be to email me at my Gmail email address, which is EYMOROZOWSKY@gmail.com. Or if you want to find me on Twitter at Emma_ATC, and they want to follow up with anything, I'd be happy to follow, you know, be in contact with them. So it's, my Twitter name is Emma_ATC. At Twitter, and then EYMOROZOWSKY@gmail.com is my email address. And that goes straight to my phone. I always have my phone with me, and I respond fairly quickly.
All right. So if you have some extra supplies, you have some other tips and ideas for Emma, some ways that she can increase the budget or improve relations, get some things for free. Again, I know Adidas sponsored they had a basketball camp hosted at our school, and then they donated shoes and jerseys to our players. Or Gatorade also co-sponsored that event, you know, and the coaches had to be up here and do the work, but they got coolers and Gatorade and all this other stuff. So you know, as you said, you got something going on at your campus this summer, so just talk to those people and say, hey, you know, is there any of this, you know, can I help out, or is there anything you can, you know, throw my way, that kind of thing. I know Dobie recently hosted a Saturday workshop for the Final Four, which was in Houston, and they got dozens of coolers and other stuff from Powerade because they were just the host site. So it's stuff that they give us to keep or give them to keep. And so, you know, again, like I was saying, Chris Shattuck said that, you know, there's a give and take. Some you give a little bit and then you get all this stuff. So,
yeah.
And then if you're doing that this year, the next year you have a better program and you're able to more convince the administration, hey, you know, I'm putting in all this work, I'm doing all this stuff. So if you got those ideas, Emma_ATC on Twitter, or I still didn't catch all of your, I have your email, but just so that everybody else can get it, say it one more time for us, Emma.
My Gmail email account to best reach me at, it's EYMOROZOWSKY@gmail.com.
Oh, so it's E Y and then your last name. Right?
E Y and then Morzowski, which is my last name.
Okay. That makes it a lot easier. So that, yeah. All right, EY Morzowski. And so help her out, help us all out. So, you know, you can definitely comment or mention me on Twitter, and then I can retweet, send that out. I am PHS Sports Med on Twitter. So any other ideas you have? I want to thank Doc Hills in the live chat. Mickey was saying Roll Tide earlier. Melissa Long logged in, and Tiffany had plenty of other comments. So, guys, thanks for being in the live chat. For Jeremy, the students that I got out of class to be part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. And Emma, thanks for being part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. And that is a wrap.